Generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coastside, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
It's summer on the coast, and you know what that means. No, not more fog. It means Ruben is on vacation, and it's time for the Summer Mike Series. Here's your host for the Summer Mike Series, Crystalyn.
Hope you're having a good week, even with this kind of drizzly weather. I'm so excited to be joined here today with our council member for District 3, Paul Nagengast. And if you want to call in at any time during this show, please feel free, 650-560-9851. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Crystalyn. Good morning, Coastside, Half Moon Bay. And any Buckeyes that may be listening out there.
Oh, yes. Go Buckeyes and Bengals, right?
Oh, go Reds, go Bengals.
Well, thank you for joining us, Paul. You were with Ruben and I a couple months ago, like right after you had been elected. And, you know, really just kind of want to jump in and dive in and, like, how has it been? How are you feeling? What cool things have you done and learned? What's happening, man?
That's a great question, because when I was campaigning, I tried to relate to folks in our district the different journey that I took in order to be able to represent District 3. I've been a government employee, a public works director, and not only just a public works director, but I was one in Half Moon Bay. So I felt I could bring experience, knowledge, and granted that was 20 years ago, but some of the back to basics, and we'll get into that later, but some things remain the same. I mean, streets still have potholes, signs still need to be replaced, drainage, water still drains, and I see summers are back to what they were 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think they're saying this is one of the cooler summers we've had in a very long time, so right. I think it'll be interesting to see what our September, October, since that's when we tend to get the warmer weather. Is that also going to be cooler for us, or is this a rubber band effect where it'll be hotter for us?
Well, I'm not a meteorologist, nor do I play one on TV.
Shock.
But if I remember historically, even though summers can be like this, that's our time of year, it's the fall.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Although us having cooler summers is very much beneficial to us, because so many of our visitors, which is our economic bread and butter, are fleeing from the Sacramentos and the Fresnos and the Bakersfield to come to a coast that is, you know, 20 and 30 degrees cooler. So we will take it.
Absolutely. I encourage, when it's 100 and stupid somewhere, come over here to the coast, bring your checkbook, credit cards, cash, and come and visit and cool down.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So getting back to being a council member now. So something that really strikes me as an interesting trisection is the fact that you've been to what you just mentioned. You've been Half Moon Bay city staff, but then you've had this long stretch where you were a a resident citizen and got to experience things from that perspective, and then now being in council. What about that trifecta makes you really effective in being able to see those three sides?
Right. Thank you. And I'll relate my story or journey, but I remember I'm one of five. Mm-hmm. So I'm bring my perspective, and I appreciate the four other perspectives that are on the council. That's important to recognize. I do not want to think any opinion, position is less than, you know, what's important to them or who they represent. But what I'm when I started out, I kid with folks that I used to run from council, and then I decided to run for council. and what's what I've learned, and if I can kind of just walk through and share with the community what it's been like for me. I spent 3 months campaigning. My campaign, because we're districts now, and what people maybe remember, don't remember, or realize, we used to have at-large elections, mm-hmm. which meant the whole town or the whole city voted on individual council members. Where we now we're in districts, so we represent each district, so it's important that you get to know your district, so they'll have the opportunity to elect. And in my case, District 3, I was able to walk door-to-door, talk to folks, be in my neighborhood, get a feeling what's out there. And then I would also, because I used to be work city staff, especially public works, I know some of the problem areas, things that tend to happen. Not everything's the same. I mean, I realize that, but some things still we need to look at, we need to maintain. Once, you know, from a local level. Mm-hmm. And there's several layers in government, and we all, you hear that reference, go local, or everything starts local. But locally, and the one thing I find interesting is what ties the coast side together. Now, we're all, you know, Half Moon Bay, more or less 11,000, 12,000 population. There's the rest of the coast that puts us around 25.
Yeah, just a hair under.
25,000. So the one opportunity that we get together is the part of the JPA of the sewage treatment, or Sewer Authority Mid-Coastside, otherwise known as SAM. And there's three of us, Half Moon Bay and then Granada Community Service District and Montero Water and Sewer. And it's, I'm learning, you know, we don't always see it eye to eye. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's bad or good in a way, but it's we each represent our constituents and what's important to us. It can be a challenge. You know, some of the folks know there's a trial going on this week. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to do the right thing. I think each agency wants to do the right thing, especially we have constituent money and taxpayer money. So if we couldn't work it out, there is a process for that, and that's the courts and the legal system. So we're going through that.
And just for some people who may not know, the reason that there's the JPA on the sewer system is because essentially one set of pipes goes through the coastside into one plant, but that those pipes go across different districts that are managed by the different groups, correct?
I'm trying to keep this as simple as I can. JPA is a joint powers agreement, and each agency brings, mm-hmm. like Half Moon Bay has their system that goes to the plant, mm-hmm. and then Granada, Montero would have their pipes that go to the plant.
Got it.
So it's, you know, we're trying to all, you know, do the right thing, the plants, and that's something we all, you know, share in common is the plant itself. But what I've, you know, learned being on council, you know, from a local level, and that's my direct connection to the coast side, besides just, you know, we're the coast and, you know, we see neighbors, whether they're in the harbor or Montero or even Pescadero, but there's also other opportunities working with the county. Mm-hmm. Our supervisor at this district is Ray Mueller. Mm-hmm. His office he has at the harbor. I've had opportunity to meet with Ray and talk with him. There's also committees for the county. We call them City-County Association of Government, CCAG. I'm on some committees representing Half Moon Bay's interest on these committees. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, I think it's very important, because I think we get forgotten on the coast sometimes. Mm-hmm. Everybody focuses on what we call, you know, over the hill. Mm-hmm. And those communities over there, they have concerns and issues that they want addressed. But they seem to have a common themes, just, you know, whether it's transportation, the housing, on commuter rails. We hear a lot about El Camino Real, the highways, Highway 101.
Yeah, and I think some of that is because they're so connected, just by in proximity, and then they have the higher portion of, you know, county constituents. So of the county population, not only is the count, or not only is the coastside separated by Highway 92 and Highway 1 and the hills in between, our 25,000 is a very, very small part of the whole county population. And so when the county is making decisions, they've got to do something that affects the most amount of people on average. And so then the coastside ends up left out in that way.
We tend to not always be the highest priority. Yeah. I keep it that way. But we may be small, but we're not silent. I can guarantee you that there's a lot of passion on this coast, yeah. And it hasn't been lost over the years. I saw it 20 years ago. It's still here. And I think that's fantastic. I always tell folks, you got to participate. It's important. And hold your representatives accountable. So I'm on committees. I mean, I was getting back to a little bit of the CCAG and representing the coast. It's important to make sure that our voice is heard on the NCCAG. So we do have a representative on the main CCAG board and also some subcommittees. For example, I'm on the Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee for the county. And I'm hoping, you know, the reason why that's very important, because funding opportunities to try and come our way, as opposed to, you know, the greater population and more cities, you know, over the hill. So I don't want to say we're totally ignored. There's been interest in helping us on the coast. I refer to us as an outpost. You know, we're a city surrounded by unincorporated territory, and you know, with a common zip code. So sometimes 94019, oh, it's Half Moon Bay, and then it's always the yeah, but
yes.
But if we can, you know, collaborate, and that's why it's important, working with Ray Mueller's office, you know, and I'll move further up the food chain. I've also met our Assemblyman Mark Berman and our State Senator Josh Becker.
And just real quick, if anybody wants to call in, I just want to put that out there. The number to call in and chat with myself and Paul, 650-560-9851.
And going back to our state representatives, I've had opportunities to meet both of their both of them and their staff. So just to keep reminding everybody, hey, don't forget Half Moon Bay. We're here too. And I'll even one more, our Congressman Sam Liccardo, which I think Sam has an office here on the coast. They share an office, the same one where Ray Mueller's office is.
Yeah, and I think Berman and also has access. And I'm so used to talking to their representative, so I want to say Leslie's boss and Joan's boss. But yeah, they also have access to that. So the space at the harbor is kind of like the, you know, state elected's office and county.
Which I think is fantastic. There is that recognition that there is a coast out here, and there are folks. So, you know, we should take advantage of that. Make sure, don't forget to talk to them. It's very open. Every opportunity that I've had to meet any of those representatives, been very open and interested.
And a cool thing about the electeds, at least in Becker's office and Berman's office, is a lot of them retain the staff. So our coastside staffers in those offices have actually been our liaisons for more years than their person has been in their office, in their position, because they tend to try to keep continuity. So that also helps in telling the story of the coast side in a faster manner when the when the coast side staff isn't always being replaced.
Right. That continuity is important. Yeah. And you know, to be consistent, you know, so those, to me, that's all part of my job, is to make sure that, you know, our voice is heard. And I've met all these individuals and they've been very receptive. So I'm happy, you know, bring forward what our concerns are, you know, to any one of them anytime. Now, granted, they have their own challenges. whether it's somebody else in a higher office of them or, you know, budgeting, you know, some of the local level. You know, we've talked about some of the priorities that I've had here is, you know, the fiscal responsibility. We're in a structural deficit. And again, not the only ones. There's other communities having the same issues. You know, we went from, if you think about it, went from COVID to the time now, and there was a lot of money inputted or infused into the economy during COVID, which kept us going, but that money's pretty much drying up now.
Yeah, it was one-time funds, so right. Those projects are coming to a close.
Yeah, and it's a balance. You know, we never have enough money to do everything everybody wants, so that's why we do what a priority exercise.
Mm-hmm.
From a staff level, I remember attending with the Half Moon Bay Council at that time, this is 20 years ago, and listening to the input from them and the community, and that's how we arranged our staff budget, would present to council for council approval. This time, listening to the all the listening sessions we had to prepare our budget, it's difficult. There's never enough money to do all the things that not only the community wants, desires, but are necessary. And that's why it's important for council to hear from the community and then the council to go ahead, okay, we have limited monies. What do we do? What can do? And just have plans. It's important to have a plan because obviously you can't do everything now,
mm-hmm.
but what is that plan and how do we plan for the future? So what I'm learning also with government, and I know people think it's too slow, but it's a process and it's set up in a way for us to get all the information to make the best informed decision.
As somebody who goes to the majority of the council meetings and stuff, I have to say, I wish that the priority session meetings were every 2 years instead of every year, because it seems like you set these, like, the priorities are very lofty, like they're always going to be, you know, big items that then are, you know, filled with lots of littler projects, and a year just never seems like quite enough time that all those littler projects that make the big priority could possibly get done. And this year in particular, it felt like the priority session meetings, there was a lot more of them. Like, it was a more time-consuming process than it had been, than it had felt. It might have been the exact same process, but it felt a lot longer this year. And that's, so I'm just curious that maybe at some point we can look at doing the priority sessions the year after an election, that January, so that if there's newer council members and stuff, they're definitely involved in that process, but that some of the bigger projects have more time to get done before they're potentially wiped off the board.
Well, duly noted, but I think this year you had two new council members?
Yes. No. This was a good one, but like, no. I personally wouldn't mind if the next one didn't happen until January 2027. Yeah. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, duly noted. But, and, you know, our budget, we do annually.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's kind of, you know, what we, some communities will do a two-year budget. I don't know if that's possible, especially with a structural deficit. I think it's important, and even a mid-year review. And I've been a big proponent of, you know, how important our mid-year review is going to be, because that's when you look at trends.
Mm-hmm.
How is our revenue stream coming along? What did we estimate? Is that actually happening, or is it, uh-oh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we need to do plan B, C, D, or, you know, some other measures to fix.
Yeah, I fully am on board with the annual budget review and annual halfway review because, yeah, money coming in and money going out are not something that I think you can truly forecast 2 years in advance and then hope that it's going to be the same, because literally everything changes every single day.
Well, yeah, especially now,
yeah.
The current climate that's out there, it, we don't know, literally, day to day. So it's important to see trends. I, you know, speaking for Half Moon Bay, one of our biggest revenue sources is TOT.
transient occupancy tax,
which is something the folks that stay in our hotels pay mm-hmm. that. And that to me is how, you know, it's important since that's one of our strong revenue sources. How do we maintain that? How mm-hmm. do we encourage that? How do we keep folks going when there's parts of other types of government out there that are discouraging maybe certain folks from coming to visit and see things in this country? So we need to rely on maybe other visitors from other sources than maybe we haven't traditionally, you know, looked at before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at you at the chamber, you know, you see trends, you see things, you're going to promote us, you know, where you can.
Yeah. So we should note that the hotels, that fee that's collected, well, the TOT fee that's collected goes to the city and goes into your general fund to help. And it's supposed to help keep the city up and functioning and offset the footprint of a visitor is how TOT started. And then we have a separate fund, which is a marketing fund called Visit Half Moon Bay, that the hotels also collect a small fee from the visitors that stay in their hotel. It goes into this fund, and then we do marketing strategies and things like that. That fund has just recently gotten an increase, so we're really excited that we're being able to really look at opportunities that we never had the option to look at before. And we're also doing a visitor study, which is going to help us make better decisions about how that's going to be where we should be looking for these like cool new opportunities. So lots of fun stuff on that front.
Well, and if I could just maybe mm-hmm. go down this rabbit hole you're going down right now about that, because it's important to note that the fund you just talked about, what do you call that?
The BID, the Business Improvement District.
Right. So that goes directly to you. Not you personally.
Oh, yeah. I was like, no.
No, I mean the chamber. Sorry.
The chamber.
Because I just look at you as the chamber.
Thank you. Yes, the chamber is the management of record.
Yes.
So the funds go to the city, and then the city hands the funds over to the chamber. And then, yes, we work with the city and the hotels and contractors and blah, blah, blah. But it's its own bank account. It's its own fund.
So you're promoting visitation to Half Moon Bay. Mm-hmm. Come stay the night. Don't just come down.
Yes.
Grossly underdressed, typically, and then leave in 10 minutes because it's too cold here. But how do we retain? And you mentioned you're doing some exciting surveys.
Yeah. So it's super cool. The city was able to help us last year start down the road of the Coastside's first comprehensive visitor study. So we've got access now to geolocation data. So basically, you know, when you put something new on your phone and it says, do you want to allow this app to track? So for the people who say that's okay, then we have access to a good chunk of that data. As of last week, we got access to what's called Visa View. So that is anonymized. You know, we're not seeing people's like actual credit history or anything like that. But it tells us the spending trends for our area. So like, you know, people from a certain country or a certain state, we can look up to see like how much they're spending on accommodations, how much they're spending on retail. So like these big buckets. So that's going to help us a lot. And then we actually have boots on the beach. So 2 weeks ago, we started our in-person interviews, and we already have 320 surveys in 2 weeks. And we have four more weekends to go. So I'm very excited. And we're gaining insights from people who are actually here on the beach. Are you staying the night? How many people are in your group? Are you going anywhere other than the beach? Did you bring your lunch? You know, just things like that. So we're getting a lot of good information. And then we're going to take all that, put it together, and make a beautiful report that the city can use, our hotels can use, our visitor-serving businesses can use to try to help them craft marketing plans as well that help bring the, and I want to say this loud and proud, the ideal visitor to our area. And that's the ones that are really staying the night, going to the restaurants, shopping in our Harbor District and our Main Street District, and just hitting everything up.
Good information, because you know, when you, maybe you ask these questions, you might get a lot, well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe folks don't know that we have a main street or that we have other opportunities here besides the beach. I know the beach is a big attraction, especially when I refer to it when it's 100 and stupid somewhere else. You come here and cool off. And I mentioned being underdressed when folks come here. What I've seen over the years, and it still goes on, that, you know, wow, it is different here on the coast. Mm-hmm. And they do cool off. And then, you know what? There is more here than just the beach.
Yes.
So I think it's fantastic if we're able to allow folks other opportunities, whether it's to buy a fleece jacket, some long pants, mm-hmm. or maybe a painting, some artwork, or some other object, or even to fill their stomachs, drink. You know what? I'm going to spend the night here, or, you know, mm-hmm. I need something for the ride home. So,
yep, absolutely. And I think what's going to come from this a little, one of the things that'll come out of it is signage for the beaches that points to these different points of interest. Some cute signs like feeling chilly, feeling hungry. Come on, you know, you're only a 2-minute jaunt from downtown Main Street, or, you know, whatever. I think we're going to come up with some really cool campaigns.
Yeah, I've seen in some localities some CR codes they'll use. Apparently, we're all glued to our phones. So
yes.
The technology related to that seems to be what's popular these days. And a lot of information can be put in behind a CR code.
Yes, we will definitely use QR codes to help funnel people to the website. And on that note, we're going to go to break and we'll be right back.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side. 100.9 KHMP. Radio for the Coast Side. 100.9 KHMP. Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
Hi, this is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me along with Stan Warren Luttrell after Coastal Windage. We'll get a look at today in history and a brand new forgotten find. Coming up at 10 a.m. from 100.9 FM KHMB.
And we're back. And if you want to call in and chat with Paul about any of these great topics about the running of the city of Half Moon Bay or the coastside as a whole, please give us a call at 650-560-9851. All right. Now that you are getting to see things from the, you know, you're, what, I think seven-ish, eight, you know, coming on 8 months in.
Beginning my 8th month.
Yeah. So, yes. Like, now you're, like, you know, I would say knee deep, ankle deep, depending on how you rate the course of the the course of the 4 years. What are you finding that A is just really been a surprise? Like you didn't quite realize going in. Oh, and I think we actually might have a call. Caller, who do we have?
Hey, it's Cameron down at Cameron's Pub. How are you, Crystalline?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good. I wanted to talk to my councilman.
Cameron, how are you?
Good, Paul. How are you,
buddy? I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I think you both know I sit on the Half Moon Bay Beautification Committee.
What?
And that's
I
heard of that.
How did I not
Cameron
know that?
Actually, it's on. I heard there was a Cameron on that.
It's a passion of mine, and I love it, and it's a lot of fun. I'm calling, Paul, to know, has there been any discussion on just kind of sprucing things up on Main Street to attract visitors? It looks like there's a couple areas that just need a little spit shine or something. It needs help. Has there been discussions about that?
Thank you, Cameron, and yes, there have been. I know there's been more focused listening sessions with downtown the various associations, not only beautification committee, but there's a downtown business association. There could be a couple more. I mean, it's interesting the different groups within mm-hmm. the businesses that are out there. But there's been opportunity for us to hear what's necessary. And I agree with you. There's some simple things that can be done that have been shared to us. And I'm all supportive to do the things we can do. We can't do everything. And believe it or not, sure. We have our hands tied on things that sometimes we rely on maybe volunteers or other groups to do. Or, again, the city has so many competing priorities to focus on that. So what we're looking at is creating a plan to try and show what we can do. I've always sure. believed that sprucing up the town, whether it's in the businesses or residential, is contagious. Mm-hmm. You know, folks see things happening. They're more inclined to work, do the same on their private property, and then you have a momentum going.
Yeah.
And what I want to try and do is to get a momentum. And even if it's just to and what I've heard is to ensure street sweeping mm-hmm. is doing what it's intended to do, but just showing right. that we can, you know.
And it's holding some count. You know, some things require a contractor to do mm-hmm. it, like the street sweeping yes. and things yes, like yes, that. Yes, yes. And it's helping hold them to a standard that is, you know, what we want to see. So making sure that the street sweeping actually gets the dirt.
Right, right. Well, either whether street sweeping or even median maintenance. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just things that, and they're simple things.
Paul, do you feel as if the rest of the council shares your desire to spruce things up as well?
Oh, I'm sure they do. I mean, we all are proud of this town. We've all seen and lived here. I know folks, yes. and I know one other council person that's been very active. I'm going to give a shout out to him, Patrick Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I
yes,
know he's
indeed.
Been
yeah.
very, very active in wanting to... ensure, let the community know that it's important that we project ourselves to have, you know, hey, Half Moon Bay, we welcome you here. We're not just some outpost in the middle of nowhere that happens to have a beach on the Pacific. So there's yep. more to us than just the beach. And, you know, I don't want to sit here and make you a promise right here, right now, that, yes, we're going to, tomorrow morning, we'll be out there. But I want you to know, and I want the community to know, our council, we're interested, and we want to try and help and do what we can to make you feel, or make the businesses and make the community. And the residents feel like somebody's hearing you. Because I've felt, and that's part of why I got into the council, that my voice wasn't heard. There were several opportunities that I had to try and share some beliefs, you know, before I ran for council, some of the decisions the city council is making, and I just feel I wasn't heard. So that's why I came on council, and that's why, Cameron, I think it's so important to hear what you have to say to ensure okay. that okay. we can deliver or try and do what we think is a priority okay. for the community.
Well, I love everything you're saying, and I just want you to know I would help rally some troops to participate in this. And
well, I'm going to take you up on that.
Okay, well, I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's do it. And thanks for everything you do, and thanks for running for council. I know it's a huge commitment.
Thank you. I'm happy. Right. I'm happy to serve. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Thank you, Cameron. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
But if I could just tell a little bit, I got. I mentioned there were some things that I felt my voice wasn't heard, and that's how I got more involved. You had pointed out, Kristalyn,
oh.
oh my gosh, you were a staff person, and then mm-hmm. you were just a guy,
yeah.
a resident, and then all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to run for city council. And what happened on that is that I got involved at some meetings. I've actually did some appeals. Mm-hmm. To city council and also to the coastal commission. So I started getting back involved in the process on some things I thought we could do better. I'm not trying to say, oh, that was just the biggest mistake on the planet, but I was taught a long time ago, we all have room for improvement. Mm-hmm. And that's all I felt I was trying to do. But again, I felt I wasn't heard. So what I've always tried to make sure folks knew that I want to listen and I want to try to bring forward your concerns. I still have my campaign website up, mm-hmm. and folks can still go there, paulforhmb.com. And I've listed priorities that I had personally, but also from the community when I did my door-to-door walks with Paul on Thursdays. I would go out through the community and in District 3 and just hear what's on folks' minds. And I've tabled a list. Mm-hmm. And part of that listing, that table of items that I have, it helps me when I look to try and prioritize some things for the city. Now, that's particularly to my district, which District 3, I don't know if folks realize what that boundary is in a common, and there's some notches in there. There's these little weird cutouts, but essentially it's Kelly to Seymour, west of 1 to the beach, and there's a sliver along Main Street from about Metzger to the fire station. So it's simply put, and that's why it was doable to knock on every door, mm-hmm. to try and hear what folks had to say. And I can't tell you how appreciative folks were that I actually knocked on their door. Mm-hmm. You know, and I get it because COVID kind of changed things for us. We had these cohorts. You know, we tended to, especially with our kids, we told them, oh, no, you don't go to Bobby's house. You're only supposed to go to Joey's house. I mean, that's your group. And then, oh, no, you got to stay on your phone. So somehow we became more
insular.
Yeah. And to me, that's no way to govern.
Well, I also think just even on how people have, came to be and evolved and stuff, our animalistic nature is to click, is to be in familiar clicks or safe spaces. Not necessarily like you go out and you do a thing and you come back, and you go out and you do a thing and you come back. So getting the masses to show up for any one thing besides a very, cool concert is can be really, really daunting. And
well, maybe we should do more cool concerts at council meetings.
If every council meeting started with some like rock and roll, I think you could get some more people to show up.
Oh, duly noted on that one, too.
Hey. Yeah. Some snacks. I think we could make council. Hey, let me be in charge of the council meeting vibe.
Right. But you bring up an important point. Participate. Mm-hmm. And folks need to participate. That is so important. I heard Cameron talk about that, wanting to participate, or strumming up the troops, we like to say sometimes. But yes, I mean, your voice to me is important, and we need to hear. Now, I will always be the first to say, we can't always do everything, mm-hmm. that everybody wants at the same time.
Oh, sure.
We prioritize ourselves. But as a council, it's important for us to hear what is important to you. And then we can take that back to the meetings. And remember, there's 5 of us. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sometimes, oh, you're on council now, you can change things. I'm just 1 of 5, and mm-hmm. I will try as hard as I can. But you asked some of the things that were new to me on the council. That's something that, learning to, I don't want to say we all have to come to a common vote. Votes don't need to be 5-0. They don't, mm-hmm. need to, but it's nice to have some consensus, mm-hmm. on some things. Since there was 5, it's a 3-2 vote. That's something that, I realized. And it's not bad. It's not
and it looks like we have another caller.
Was it because I said 3-2?
There you go.
That used to be something else.
Hi, caller. Who do we have?
Good morning, y'all. This is Nate 30.
Oh.
Monday. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Morning, Nate.
Hey. Hope you can hear me well. I'm on a walk with my dog.
There you go.
Yeah, you're coming through just fine.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm a resident here on the coast side in Half Moon Bay, born and raised here, Paul, I just want to say thank you for your service, for what you do on the board, on the on city council. I have two questions for you. Back in like 2020, the city adopted a local downtown ordinance, which is called the Heritage Ordinance, limiting business opportunities downtown. Like deep down, it to me seemed like a retaliation against the property owner and business owner, and seemed at a time, in my opinion, a rush. And now rents downtown are just far too high. I'm a local realtor here. I've been a realtor here for just about 22 years. And the rents far surpass the rest of the community up towards El Granada, Moss Beach, and Monterra on a price per square foot basis. And as you know, that there's, you know, considerable amount of vacancies between the 260-600 blocks. I'm curious, you know, as a new member who wasn't part of that vote, how you feel about this ordinance, and if you think it leads to that thriving downtown economy, similar to what Cameron, you know, he wants it spruced up, and, you know, having a local hairstylist or, you know, or an insurance person, these type of people can't move into that zone of Hoffman Bay anymore. So I'm just curious your thoughts about this.
Well, thank you, Nate, for sharing. I'll have to get familiar with the Heritage Ordinance. I'm not I'm not aware of it at all, and that's something I'll definitely look at. I can talk to, I don't know, is the chamber familiar with?
Yes. There was a ordinance, which it's not totally uncommon in other tourism-based towns, but basically the 300 block through the 600 block have been dubbed Heritage Main Street for retail and visitor-serving purposes. So businesses like hairstylists or the insurance gal that's near Johnny's and the real estate office have been grandfathered in, so nobody was asked to leave, but that there was a priority for downstairs Main Street facing commercial spaces, be either retail or restaurant or shop, you know, something that was going to serve and have quote unquote high foot traffic. The chamber was really hopeful that there would be some caveats, some carve outs in that ordinance that would say like, hey, after a year, you know, maybe allow people to get a little bit more creative with their spaces. That's basically the meat of it, but I'm sure there's much more nuances to it.
Well, thanks, Nate. That's definitely something now on my list. Let me get a little more familiar.
And I will
with
confirm it was written down.
Yeah. And Nate, will you email me?
I'd be happy to.
That way I have it. That way I have it, and then I can contact you later on this, and you know, speak more intelligently with you on this.
Yeah, I think it affects our downtown thriving economy. To Cameron's point, right? Just a kind of an all inclusive. Thank you for doing that. And then second of all, I happened to catch the city council meeting in which you guys talked about the rental registry. Here in Half Moon Bay. It was a very colorful meeting, to say the least, and I'm just very curious, after that decision to kind of kick the can down the road for the next year or so, how things are going thus far, in your opinion, since?
Well, my understanding, we were going to look at this after 6 months, and I think I wasn't as supportive of this when we talked about it, but we agreed it was going to come back. And we're going to reassess this, whether it makes sense to continue or not. So I hear you on this. I know you're not the only person that's talked about the registry and actually all part of the rent stabilization, too. So this will be addressed again. I believe it wasn't a year. It was 6 months, I thought.
I think it was a part of the mid-year review.
Yes.
And I'll point out, even just this morning, as Paul and I were grabbing coffee to gear up for this, had a constituent come up to him to talk to him about this and kind of point out some of the staff time that gets spent on this and whether or not it's a competing priority.
Right. So it's something that I think the council is definitely interested in and wanting to make sure, especially in a structural deficit, especially, you know, I don't, you know, we have an ad hoc committee to look at, you know, structuring the city staff organization. So that's something that's important, is what should we be doing and how staff should be operating on that. So thank you, Nate. That's something else. Again, send me an email. Then I'll be able to contact you and let you know where we're going with this, or where, you know, where we'll be in the process.
Well, I just want to appreciate your stance from what you said during that council meeting as well. So anyway, well, great, guys. Enjoy your weekend.
Enjoy your walk.
Say hi to your dog.
Thanks, Nate.
Yeah, so that's part of, you know, it's interesting, you know, going back to what I'm seeing and being on the council, especially from a staff person. And you know, I kid on this, that I used to run from council, mm-hmm. and now then I'm for. And I could see why people sometimes run from, just because, oh my God, what are they wanting, you know, to do now? And I believe, again, that we're as transparent, open, and provide any information for folks, and then it's important for people to participate. Mm-hmm. So that way the feedback comes back either before or when we're trying to make a decision.
And is there, to your knowledge, utilization of the city's website for some of that transparency? Because, like, something that I was reminded of actually in our pre-coffee conversations, when I was in the city of Seaside, and I was actually trying to help the city at that time kind of with some transparency things. And there was this system that you could have for your public works department where there was a spot where somebody could input, like, hey, noticed a pothole on blah, blah street. And then that would go straight to public works, be put in a queue. And I could go back and just look on the website and see, yes, it's been acknowledged. Yes, it's been looked at. Now it's been filled. And then, you know, you would get an email back as the person who originated the ticket that this has been done. Is there anything like that?
I've heard what you're referring to is some communities that hire it, Fix It Now, or various Fix It programs. And the technology is there. It's so simple. Now, we all have our phones and we take pictures of everything. It's so simple to help put it in. I remember as a director, it was easier for me to use my phone either to text or send pictures to the staff, mm-hmm. that, hey, you know, put this on the list, you know, and something going forward. I think that's part of everything that we are looking at, is how to be more, not just transparent, but being...
I think some of the thing, too, is just knowing that you guys have seen it, acknowledged it, working on it, right? Because if somebody sends an email, that email will get a reply that says, you know, thank you for sending the email. And then there's this big gap. But when you're on the other end of that email, you don't necessarily know, like, they've gone and looked at it. They are ordering the things to do it.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know for certain if that's the only process we use today. Mm-hmm. I mean, but again, I want the community to know that, hey, we're looking at ways to be more
communicative.
Well, not just communicative, but to really let the community not only know but see our result.
Yeah.
Because if I get it, sometimes, you know, today it's that location, tomorrow it's a different one, and the last thing you want your staff is running around, you know, just chasing things. Mm-hmm. You know, part of being more proactive is, you know, you start seeing, there's a bunch of potholes in this location. Maybe that roadway needs some help, or maybe it's time to do more than just filling in a pothole. Maybe it's time for an overlay or seal or some type of more substantial maintenance than just, you know, throwing some asphalt in a hole, tamp it down, and move on. So, and those then become a bigger priority because those become bigger projects. Mm-hmm. Bigger projects have more money attached to it. So that's what we need to be able to, as part of a plan, show why we're doing the various, whether it's an overlay, paving overlay project, adding a new layer of asphalt, or, you know, and again, some locations it's simple as, you know, fixing a small pothole. But I would, agree, and I think so would Public Works. Our director, Moz, would always want to have some ability to maintain or to keep track of what's coming in and, you know, being able to address. I know our Public Works crew want to do the work that's necessary, or wanting to, you know, show the community that, hey, we're not just standing around. You know, I hate to, you know, use the example, six supervisors and one guy with a shovel, but that's not our crew.
Mm-hmm.
Our crew is out there working.
Yeah.
And they work very hard. And I don't want to, I don't want the community to think, oh, you're just, you know, they're not doing anything. No, that's not true. Just because maybe the priority hasn't been there previously, but they're very hard at work, mm-hmm. and they're very good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think council's trying to figure out ways to support them and for the community to know, hey, they're out there, they're trying to address it as they can, but again, we have to have a plan, you know, and I don't know, there's a couple other things, and maybe if I could do a quick pause, I want to make sure.
Absolutely.
I
was just going to apologize for how much I've squirreled you away from your your topics.
You haven't squirreled me away. Actually, I like squirrels. But did you ever notice there's not many squirrels here on the coast?
Maybe they enjoy sunnier days.
I don't know. Anyway, that's another sidebar. But tomorrow, August 2nd.
Yes.
Carter Park.
Yes.
We're having our ribbon cutting, opening, world-class facility, which is fantastic. I know there's been a lot of trials and tribulations with this park, but it is completed, and we're going to open and celebrate it tomorrow. And I know then there are going to be some fantastic productions there.
Yep. Taming of the Shrew, I think, is the first one by the Shakespeare,
yes.
The local Shakespeare company.
Yeah, so I invite all to come out. I think walk, ride, bike, come into town, come to see Carter Park, and then go into town.
And for what time does the ribbon cutting start?
It's at 1.
1 o'clock, yeah. Until 3?
1 to 3.
1 to 3.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know where Carter Park is, it is right next, in between the Stone Pine Shopping Center and Fattoria Imar restaurant. So right where the bridge is.
Right by the bridge. Mm-hmm. I say the Main Street Bridge. You know, everybody knows where that is. And it's right there down there.
Yes.
Right there down there. And the other thing I want us to make sure we let everybody know is August 5th is National Night Out Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the city has a map of locations. So we can go out, say hi to your neighbor. I plan on being out there. I'm going to say hello to the folks. I may not even stay in my district. I may go across the line.
You wandering. And usually, I think they average around 20-plus block parties. So for those who don't know what National Night Out is, it was started over, I think, 10 years ago as a way for our local first responders and cities to connect with citizens on a night, as well as having their citizens connect with one another via block parties.
Right.
So the city has like a little program where people can sign up to have a block party, and the city grants them, I think, $100-ish to get food and stuff like that. And then the police and fire will come around.
First super responders still come around.
Yeah. Super fun for the kids. Oh, yeah. My gosh, they're so awesome.
Still love fire trucks.
Yes, it's very cool. It's very cool. So encourage people to look up the map, because you might have a block party happening in your area and not even realize it.
Right, right. No, thank you. I just wanted to get those two plugs in before you end. But, so little time, you're definitely, you know, I'm going to want to come back, because I want the community to realize that we're here for them. And I say we as a council, we're only as good as what the community allows us to be. So you need to, you know, let us know. We all have email addresses. I get back to folks as quick as I can. I love to hear what's on your mind. So please, you know, let me know.
And in our final kind of 2 minutes, just to kind of wrap it up. So your biggest surprise kind of takeaway, because this is, I think, the one I kept squirreling you away from. So you used to be, when you were on city staff, you were a part of a team of 40 that would not necessarily run to city council for things. And now you're
less than that.
Oh, there you go. And then now you're on the city council side. So now you're on the team of five. So yes. What's that big difference that you have found?
We're the boss. and I don't mean that negatively. I mean, but it's important for us to make sure we're providing proper what our policy is. Staff is to implement policy. Council is to create policy. And it's important for council to provide the policy that's interpreted correctly by staff. Mm-hmm. And that's where I hope that I'm able to, because I've been on the receiving end, is to be able to provide it in a way on the giving end that staff understands, you know, what direction we're heading. I can't tell you how many times, and it does it, whatever city I've worked in, we'd bring something back to council. They'd say, well, that's not what we wanted. So to me, okay, I get that. Then how do we, you know, how is the information, you know, provided to staff? How is that policy given? Are we giving them the correct direction for them to run?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's been I personally love going to council meetings. I find them very, very interesting. All of the different areas that you guys have to.
Some people might say you need a life. I'm just kidding. No, it's fantastic because I want folks to come to council meetings.
I will say when I was being hired, the hiring committee was, when I said that, was like, are you okay? Like, why? And well, I'm like, it's amazing.
But we do have Zoom too. I don't. Yes. You don't have to physically come to a meeting.
You do get to comment via Zoom.
Yes. Because I you know, participation is what makes government work. You know, mm-hmm. We talk about democracy, and democracy is not easy. It's hard.
And people can sign up on the city's website to get alerted when the agenda is released. Yes. So agendas are released on Friday for the Tuesday, following Tuesday's meeting. So people can check out, and then if there's a thing that's important to their heart, they can hop on that Zoom.
Yes. And again, without participation, then, you know, what my mother used to tell me, stop whining, stop complaining, you got to participate. You know, and that was another encouraging reason why I became city council member in District 3, Half Moon Bay.
Thank you very much, Paul. I hope you have a really fun weekend, and we hope to see you out at Carter Park tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
We'll be there.
See you later, Coastside.
Bye.